We have three portions of Scripture in the Old Testament, four verses I want to read today for our text. And it's in Isaiah 66, then in Psalm 68, then the Song of Solomon, number 6. I hope you can keep that in mind. If you just think of that, where every male is supposed to appear before the Lord three times a year, that'll help you, maybe. Amen. The other Sunday night, Brother Earls, I got preaching on that, how after the new heavens and new earth, the Jews get the earth, the church gets New Jerusalem, Gentiles get the heavens, and they have children, just think. They get 33 and a half years of age, they go up to New Jerusalem, eat off the tree of life, and God will say to one of us that over yonder's a big garden on a planet, we want you to take them over there. Multiply and replenish. Well, I've got about five messages I'd like to preach, but I can't preach them all. All right. Isaiah 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Now, Psalm 68, verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai, in the holy place. Now for a text, Song of Solomon, verse 12 and 13. However, I was aware my soul made me like the chariots of Ammonadib. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Today, to get into the message, I'd like to mention some things that we see that's evident in our day that should make us think. And I'd like to say I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not saved, my heart cries, my soul groans in prayer for you. Because you don't know anything. You don't know what it's all about. And you'll never know till you know Him. Now, in our kind of a day, it looks dark on a lot of hands. But to me, still, it's one of the greatest days in the annuals of the church. There's never been a better or greater time to be an old-timey, Bible-believing,
Amen.
Holy Ghost of being, saint of God. Because we're right on the verge of something that the world, they have an inkling, but they don't know what it is. Everybody thinks something's on the horizon, they just don't know what. History no longer is in New York and Washington and San Francisco. It's made its cycle, and it's again in the Mid-East.
Amen.
Where Adam and Eve, God put them in that garden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over there, that's what they're talking about on the news today. Yeah. In that triangle. And one of the things of this day is that the oil problem. There's a shortage of oil, just as sure as you're sitting here, and every nation on the face of the earth needs oil. There's a shortage of oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit in our churches all over the land.
Amen.
And this is significant for a good sign for the days in which we're living. There's not many people know what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We hear a lot of folks talk about it, but them that talk about it, a lot of them that knows it, the least.
Yeah.
The Bible said when He has come, He'll not speak of Himself.
Amen. Right.
He'll magnify Jesus.
Amen.
If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He'll make Jesus
Amen.
Real to
Amen.
You. He'll make the Word real to you. It's not so much a funny feeling or a lot of gifts, but it'll be bearing a lot of fruit of the Spirit of God. And so there's an oil shortage. You remember in Elijah's day, that woman had that, all she had was some oil. And he had her to go and borrow vessels, and that oil lasted as long as there was a vessel to put it in.
Amen.
But one day the last vessel was filled and the oil stopped. Maybe today the last person to be saved. And no more will people be sealed with the Spirit of God. Not only that, but when you look at the evil in our day, you look at Iraq and Iran, that's old Persia. You remember back yonder, Daniel prayed 21 days. Man, he prayed and he cried and he wept and blew his nose and wiped tears and prayed till his face was swollen and his eyes puffed up and bloodshot. And 21 days he prayed. Finally, Michael came, the archangel, the angel for Israel. And he said, look, God heard you the very day that you started to pray and sent your answer to your prayer. But that angel, that prince of Persia, that invisible force behind, has hindered the prayer. You've never saw a more vehement, a more malignant, a more despiteful, hostile attitude of any people in the world than those in Iran and Iraq, simply because the power that's behind
them. Amen.
Not only that, when you begin to think of over there, the Bible tells me that it's the heritage of the Lord in Jeremiah 12, and it says His heritage is like a great speckled bird. All the other birds around it are pecking at it and grabbing at it and clawing at it and scratching at it.
Amen.
And there's one thing that has to happen before this old earth, as it's going today, can have what it wants. Did you know, as long as the church is here, someone's going to be offended?
Yeah, amen.
Someone's going to be upset. Someone's going to be grieved. Someone's going to get mad. Because everything that we believe goes cross-grained to this old world.
Amen.
And they want peace, peace, peace at any price, but not the peace of God.
Amen.
They want peace on earth and goodwill to men, but they don't want glory to God in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, they want creationism the way they believe it, but they don't want it the way that we preach it.
Right. Amen.
Oh, they want to be saved from their sins and hell, but not the way that we preach it.
Amen.
And they can never have peace till one thing happens, and then it'll be a false peace.
Right. Amen.
And that is, the church has got to simply be removed.
Right. Amen.
It's got to be gone. Because as long as you've got some old boy that God saved out of sin, or some woman out of the gutter, there's going to be someone that's going to stand up and say, I believe God.
Amen.
We're like Paul on the way to Rome when they ran into that Euryclidean, and man, the storm was great, and the clouds were thick and dark, and the waves were high, and it lashed the ship. And old Paul said, we just let her drive. Couldn't nobody handle her, just let her drive. And we're in that kind of day, just let her drive.
Amen.
The world's crazy, it's insane, but just let it drive. Oh, folks, at all, America, America. I'm not worried about America.
Amen.
It's going just like God said it would go.
Yeah.
Man, I'm glad that I've got an anchor that holds.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a home on the other
Amen.
Side.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a place to go when the storm comes. And I know where home is. When I came from overseas, past the Statue of Liberty in New York, I said, if you ever see me again, you'll have to turn around. I know where I'm going. Paul said, it's dark, the waves are high, but he said, just let her drive, because this night there stood by me the angel of the Lord, whom I am and whom I serve. Amen. All right, now we get to the message. And he said, ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Ammonadea. What we read here is the fact that the rapture just takes place like that. If it happened this morning, all be left here would be these clothes, a partial plate, and all the blood that's in my body. If you're here, you can have it, any or all of it. You can have my old car outside. And I hope it takes place. But if you're not saved and not walking where you ought to walk today, there's a reluctance within your heart. You say, oh, don't talk like that. But I tell you, it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. It's coming. Why, when the Lord made heaven and earth and something happened, and then he did a recreation in 6 days, rested the seventh. On the sixth day, he made man in his image. The Bible said, be not ignorant of this one thing. If you're stupid about anything else in the world, God says, don't do it about this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. 6,000 years and 6 days have gone by just about 9 more years. And God's making somewhere in this day of time a new man, the church, in his life to be called up. And she said, why, ever I was aware. One moment I was there, now I'm here. One moment I was mortal, now I'm immortal. One moment there was corruption, but now there's incorruption. One moment there was weakness, but now there's strength. Once moment I look like Adam. Now I look like Jesus, the second Adam. Caught up. Paul said, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh. He said, I don't know. Again he said it. Whether he was in the flesh or out of the flesh, he said, I don't know. Ever I was aware. Ever I was aware. I was caught up, caught up, caught up into the third heaven. Yeah. And I saw things that's unlawful to utter. Yeah. Ever since that day, Paul lived a suicide life. Yeah. Wanting to leave and depart.
Yeah.
Far better to go. Now, here it says, my soul made me like the chariots of Ammonadea. I can remember, young feller, I was raised on the farm, you wouldn't think it. I learned my theology behind the plow when I got saved. Read a verse of scripture and plow a couple of rounds and get down on my knees and cry and bless God and hug the mule's neck and shout a little. And that's where I learned my dogmatic, my practical, my pastoral theology. And I never had such a time in my life. God taught me more. Just plowing a couple of mules or strawberry roan mares. Come in at dinner time, feed them, water them. Get off in a broom sage field somewhere with a Bible, with old Finney's book or Moody's Life, and cry to God.
Amen.
But I can remember as a young man, used to hear the colored folks. They'd sing that song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I often wondered just What did they mean? I didn't understand it back then. Swing load, swing chariot. Where did they get such an idea? Where did something come along that would pencil itself in their heart and mind to say such words as swing low, sweet chariot? Well, one day old Jacob, way over in Laban's country, he was defeated, discouraged. He started working 1 week for a beautiful lady, his sweetheart. I remember the first time I fell in love, someone said, puppy love, yeah, but sweet puppy. And he worked 7 years, cheated, worked 7 more years, got the one he wanted, had one he didn't want, and first thing you know, he wound up with 4. Two of them on the shady side. All these kids. His father-in-law changed his wages 10 times. The frost bit him at night, and the sun smote him in the daytime. And when he'd come in, all of these contentious women arguing, the children chasing each other. His car done hit one in the head with a rock, and there was dirty, sour milk bottles and diapers and griping on every hand. And he said, I'm going to go back. Back yonder where God blessed me at Bethel, the house of God, I'm going back. I can't stand it any longer. And so he started back. Yeah, over there to the place where God changed his name and made a prince out of him. But before he got there, he got to a place called Hamahaneah, which means two armies. Two armies. There was his army. And above, there was the angels. The heavenly army and two armies. And that's a picture of Israel when they started back in 1948. You never heard of unidentified flying objects and spaceships and moon rockets and spaceships in your life till Israel started going back. Now I know that all of them are not the angels. Some of them are dead things that's formed under the sea. Demonism. But God said His chariots are 20,000, even thousands of the angels. And so the angels came out and met Him, the two armies. One day going down the road, two preachers. One of them a hairy man, the other a bald-headed man. One used Head and Shoulders, the other used Mop and Glow. And everywhere Elijah went, Elisha fought. He stuck around him closer than Grant did around Richard. And he said, man, why do you keep following me? You got something I want. Well, what is it you want? I don't have any education. What is it you want? I don't look good. What is it you want? And he said, I want a double portion of your power. He said, I'll tell you what. You see me when the Lord catches me up, you can have it. And there they went on down the road, place to place. Bald-headed man following that hairy man. And he came to the river. He took that old mantle and smote it. And the waters parted and went over on dry ground. And he's over there. And man, Elisha thought, boy, wasn't that something? And about that time he looked around and he saw it. Yonder it came, all fiery and roaring and speeding. And he said, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And with a whirlwind, he called Elijah. Years later, down at Dothan, Elijah was down there with his servant, King Ben-Hadad, one of 18 men that's the type of the Antichrist, was after him because every time he went out to battle, it went wrong. And he sought the reason, and he said, I tell you what, said, what you speak in your bedchamber, said that old prophet of God, Elijah, said, he tells them. That's the reason a lot of you think, who told the preacher? Who told the preacher?
Go ahead.
And he's down there, and he woke one morning. The servant looked out and saw all the chariots of King Ben-Hadad. And he nearly had a nervous conniption, like a lot of Baptists.
Amen.
He said, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? I knew I shouldn't have stayed with this fanatic. I should have went with the Southern Baptist." And he looked at him and said, "Lord," said, "remove the scales from his eyes." And God removed the scales, and he looked, and there were chariots of fire on the hills and on the valley. The Bible tells me there's more for us than they are against us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Going overseas, middle of the ocean, we went through a hurricane. And the day before, I'd preached about 4,000 troops. There I was, Private E1, about as low down as you could get, going overseas. And I think somewhere on the way I made Private E2. Boy, I was excelling. But one night after supper around there and the boys, some looking at books of pornography, some playing cards, some shooting dice, others lie. Some of them, I think, nipping a little from somewhere. They're just having a big time. And I thought, well, if they can do that, I can do what I'm supposed to do. And I got out my old 66. Black back, King James. That a dear old crippled man. One more souls than any fella I know of had given me. And I turned over in John where it said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world."
Amen.
And I stood up and preached. Amen. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. I looked in the little book they give you when you go in the Army, standard procedure. Nothing in there that said I couldn't preach. I figured if they could cuss, I could bless God.
Amen.
Man, God come down, folks got saved, they run and got the chaplain, run and got the captain of the ship, and the old chaplain, the old leg just shake and tremble. Finally said, I guess it's all right. I guess it was.
Amen.
But the next day in a hurricane, I was having to take stuff out and throw it over the tail of the ship, and no one told me you wasn't supposed to be up there. I'm just a private E1. Who cared about me? And I got up there, man, that nose go down, and the screws come up.
Amen.
And screws go down, nose come up. Water higher in the ship everywhere. I never saw the light. That wind howling. All of a sudden that ship like that, and my feet shot across the deck. And I don't know what it was, but something caught my heel as I was going under the rail. And I told today, said, I praise his name for the last time. I think it was an angel.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All the two armies. Sisera came over fighting against Israel. Deborah and Barak went up. And the Bible said that the stars and their courses fought against Sisera. The two armies. The two armies. The Bible pictures the church like a moon, like an army with banners, table arms. Well, after about 7 years, after we've been gone, we read in the book of Joel how we're coming back. Isn't that amazing that some of the gates to the city are sheep gates, fish gates, horse gates. Thank God I'm coming back on one of them horses. Right out of the horse gate. And Joel tells us that when the morning begins to spread over the mountains, it's going to be a day of clouds and darkness and gloominess.
Amen.
It's like the sun is shining, and yet it's like it's night. And the Lord's coming. with those two armies. Thank God. And all on horses like chariots on the mountains. And the Bible tells us that we come with Him. That before us, it's like the Garden of Eden behind us, a desolate wilderness. Oh, before us, a fire goes forth and burns, and behind us, it devours. And all the saints of God are in the ranks, are in the place, because the Lord was to come this morning and shout. That's a military term, means fall in place. You're talking about Baptists getting up and getting in place, getting where they ought to be. And we come back, and the Bible says, if we fall on a sword, we'll not be wounded. And the Lord goes before His army. You read the book of Amos, and it shows how He comes down that west coast. Here comes the chariots, the horses, the saints of God, the Lord of lords, King of kings, on that white charger in front. And there's flame enfolding, unfolding, outfolding, unsheeted waves of flaming fire. That old man, the one that never died, way over in the first of the Bible, who pictures the church that she'll never die, prophesied and said, the Lord is coming in mighty fire and flames to take judgment upon the ungodly. And we'll come right down that west coast, make a left turn at the Nile, go right down to where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. You remember when they crossed? Them waters backed up. Wind blew all night. Backed up, congealed. Dry ground. Children of Israel went down. Here comes Pharaoh. That glory cloud came down just like a coffin. And they were buried. Baptized, thank God. And where they were, it was light. Where Pharaoh was, it looked dark to him. It came through on dry ground. And right where they came through, out there as the Kohathites had the Ark of the Covenant. And here they're bearing it on their shoulders. It looked like a flying ark going down through there. Just flying going down through there. And here come Israel, five abreast. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Right where that ark came, the saints of God are coming with the Lord. And we're coming right up just where they did. Coming up there to Mount Sinai that quaked and quivered. The Bible said God shook the earth. He's going to shake it again. We're going to come right over to Paran. One of the prophets said he saw the Holy One come from Mount Paran. And we're coming right up to the Dead Sea, and we cut under and go to the right. And they call that the King's Highway, and the reason it's the King's Highway, the King's coming up that highway. I'm coming with Him. I'm coming with Him. The King's coming. Man, there's a highway, isn't it? I'm glad I had the King's book. Amen. I'm glad where the word of a king is, there's power.
Amen.
I'm glad that when God wrote this old book, Elizabeth wasn't on the throne, George wasn't on the throne, Henry wasn't on the throne, Richard the Lionhearted wasn't on the throne, but there was one whose name, James, in Hebrew means Jacob. Jacob was on the throne, bless God. Amen. The King's book. Did you ever read in Psalm 45 about the wedding taking place in the king's palace? And we'll come right up to the right, the Dead Sea, go above it, make a left turn. And that left turn is exactly where Israel crossed years ago when the water during that time when he was out over its bank, flood time, it went 70 miles. Adam to Zarethan, two little towns, A to Z. And it came over. That's the same place John took the Lord.
Amen.
And laid him back. Put him all the way under.
Amen.
And brought him up. That's the same place that Elijah crossed. The same place Elijah recrossed. And we're coming across.
Amen.
And then on Mount Olivet. Thank God. And we'll look over there and see the most beautiful sight you could ever see. You say, what is it? The Eastern Gate.
Yeah, amen.
Did you know for all of these many, 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 many hundreds of years, that's been closed? Back on World War I, Kaiser Bill said he was going to enter into it, but he didn't.
Amen.
World War II, Mussolini said that he's going to ride a white horse through there and come in, but he didn't.
Amen.
Why, even the Englishman, Colonel Allenby, whose name means in Arabic, the prophet of God, he didn't go in it. No one's been in it. No one's going in it.
Amen.
Till he who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords shall come.
Yeah.
And that day when he comes, there's the gate. And you can hear the cry of that old psalm. Written way back there hundreds of years ago. Lift up ye head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. He's the King of glory. Again, it'll be echoed. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up. The everlasting doors. The King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then there's Zion's peak. But until then, that's the part I don't like. Maybe tomorrow. I hope it's today. Maybe next week. It's not far. We know it's not far. We know that those who was born about time Israel became a nation, that generation as a whole is not going to pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And you tell me what's coming, I tell you what's coming. Jesus is coming. The Lord's coming. He's coming in mighty power. I long to see him. I hope he comes today. But until then, what about until then? Well, all I know is, Christian, take up your cross.
Amen.
Take it up and follow him. March on and march on and be a soldier of the cross and live the crucified life. Three things a crucified person can't do. You can't come down from the cross. You can only look one way. You have no plans of your own. And so just march on. March on.
Amen.
Old King, fighting in a mountain. Alexander the Great. Austrians outnumbered him 4-1 on top of a crescent-shaped mountain. His soldiers afraid, his officers trembling, but he got them together one day and said, look, I know you officers don't believe what I'm going to tell you. You wouldn't want to do it. But he said, we're going to do it. It's unprecedented in military history. We're going to ride across that open field and attack. And he said, I'm going to lead the charge. And if I fall, just cover my face and ride on. Ride on. And oh, I tell you something like this, brother. You may fall, but just cover his face And right on.
Amen.
Right on.
Amen.
Right on, Jesus is coming.
Amen.
We're going home.
Amen.
The resurrection's going to take place.
Amen.
We're going to leave this little land of sorrow. We're going to where we'll sin no more.
Amen.
We'll weep no more.
Amen.
We'll hurt no more. We're going home. We commemorate homecoming today.
Amen.
I tell you, eyes not seen and ear has not heard.
Amen.
Even the least of the glories of the things
Amen.
That He's prepared for
Amen.
Them that love Him.
Amen.
Do you love Him?
Amen.
Then march on. Fight on. Sing on. Pray on. Wipe away your tears. And march on.
Amen.
March on.
Amen.
March on.
Amen.
And we'll meet Him in the air, ever I was aware. Let's stand, please. As we stand, I know it's warm, but listen, if you're here today and you're saved, and you're not the right kind of a Christian, you're not taking up the cross, you're not in your place, oh, today you ought to come and ask God to help you to be a soldier of the cross. A soldier of the cross. Must Jesus bear that cross alone and all the world go free? Oh, how we need men and women that will take it up and follow Jesus and follow on and follow on. Maybe you're here as a Christian and God spoke to you. And you say, Brother Walter, I'm not where I ought to be. Maybe you've been worldly and cold and backslidden and walking far off. And today you lift your hand and say, Brother Walter, pray for me. I'm saved, but I'm not what I ought to be. I don't want to be ashamed at His appearing. Would you lift that hand and say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. God bless you. Someone else, you'll be honest. God bless you. Who else? Say, yeah, God bless you. Someone else. To pray for me. I'm not where I want to be if Jesus was to come. I don't want to be cold-hearted towards my Lord. Pray for me. Someone else. All right, maybe you hear and listen. You're not saved. You know, it'd been better for you never to have been born than to die without God. Who here today, you're not saved, but you'd like to be, say, pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Say, for that I care, pray for me. I'm not saved, I want to be. I won't come back, but I will pray. Is there one all over the building? Jesus raised two on Calvary for you. Who'll raise that one? Say, pray for me, pray for me. Now, Heavenly Father, we preach the message. May the Holy Spirit set His seal to it and confirm it to be His. May the Spirit of God strive mightily with men. Lord, there's some that raise their hand. And Lord, the only answer is obedience. I pray today that they'll become obedient and again pick up that cross
yes.
and follow You.
Yes.
Oh God, speak to our hearts. May the awe of God be on this assembly.
Oh,
I pray today that You'll stir people to do the right thing, that we might not meet Him ashamed and empty-handed.
Yes, Lord.
May sinners get saved, oh,
God.
May they get under the blood and get born again
yes,
and get saved and get their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do it.
Oh,
and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Should we sing some
yes.
number?
Yes.
Yeah, let's sing. Amen.
Yes.
Let's
Amen.
Sing. Listen. God's here today. Yeah.